many know here this beautiful Sunday morning? That's who the Lord is. He's the way maker. Yes. And you might be facing something greater than you. But I want to let you know and just bring to your remembrance here this day that the Lord is already making a way. Ask me why. He got you through the church doors here this day. I mean, if you really, really think about it, a people like us with our backgrounds, we would either still be partying right now or sleep all messed up, hungover, and or waking up in the county jail on the way back to prison, waking up divorced, waking up with your kids gone. But I truly believe with all my heart and spirit that the Lord is a way maker. He's even not just able to take us forward, but he's even able to use the things that we messed up and make a way, clean up our mess. Children come back, marriages come back. I've seen it in my 23 years of ministry. The Lord make his way through a man's life and a woman's life that did not deserve it at all. We have a great turnout here this morning. Mm-hmm. Two reasons. The Lord's here and he's speaking right now. And we're living in a real critical time that there should be an urgency within your life right now. That we can't keep putting it off and saying, mañana, mañana lo hago. Translated in English, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. When the Bible tells us that tomorrow's not even promised. So here this day, let's give the Lord a good clap offering for making a way for us just simply to be in church this morning, simply by viewing on Facebook. We welcome you. I don't know about you, but I am excited here this day because there's a momentum taking place right now in the church which represents your lives. Amen. Worship team, great job. You may have your seats. Amen. Congregation, you may have your seats as well. I want to just narrate a little bit on the Run for Hope. My wife did a great job. Is that none of the finances, not even a penny, I wish, but not even a penny, comes to the local church of Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. It's all sent to corporate office. We're in over 33 countries, and you think we have it financially bad here in Milwaukee? We don't. It's just some people don't want to work. Amen? There's plenty of work. Plenty of finances to be had. But there are some countries, some of our churches across seas that are in places that money's hard to come by. Amen? But not the presence of the Lord. And that's why we're an international family. So when we're able to all over the world, I mean, millions come in through all our churches together. And everybody parting with our founders and the vision that the Lord has given our ministry. Amen. But people with a bunch of minimum paying jobs, when we all bring it together, millions come in. Amen. And it's able to be sent to parts of Mexico, parts to wherever it's needed, Africa, London, Europe. Amen. Wherever it's needed to hold something big and great. Amen. For hurting people. Amen. So, again, none of the finances come here. I'm going to raise $1,000. Amen. I'm going to raise $1,000. If I got to learn how to pop a wheelie on my Harley Davidson, I'm going to practice. Amen. I'm not going to pop a wheelie. Amen. I might peel out for somebody, but I ain't going to pop a wheelie. Amen. I want to also acknowledge the ushers here this day. You did a phenomenal job here this morning. Amen. Let's give the ushers. It was a great order. There's a lot of moving parts that it takes to run a service as we're running right now. And they might look like they're just coming up here, but there's an order, a strategy that they have before coming. So they're not even really noticed. But people with a sharp eye that's been around for a minute, as ministers, we can tell when they're on and when they're off. Amen. So I want to acknowledge and thank the ushers. as well for United We Can. Amen. I mean, we're not only raising the finances. What good is, some churches have all the money, but what good is it doing? How is it being used? But the good news about our ministry, man, let me see, it was Friday service, amen. Friday service, a man tried to come in, but he had to get the COVID test, which usually takes 3 or 4 days to get the results from it before they can come into the rehab. Well, this individual went to, I guess, the right spot, and they were able to do the test and give him the results back. So now it's 12-something, 1 in the morning, and he wants to come in, and I get a phone call, amen. Everybody knows at that hour, I'm still awake, amen. So I take the call 2 or 3 numbers. Finally, I got a number to go shake up the rehab that there was a new man coming into the home, amen, because God had his eye on him, and that's why he's here right now. Came in out of his mind, now it's just out of sight, amen, something like that, amen. But he checked in at 12:01 in the morning, amen. The enemy's not the only one that goes to work in the a.m. hours, amen. So does the Lord. We have a place, amen. A rehab to take in the worst of the worst. Every time I do an intake, they start saying, well, I haven't used in the last 80 years. I said, brother, if you want in the rehab, it's best you tell me how messed up you are. Your chances are better when you tell me how messed up in the hit you took 2 minutes ago. Amen. We're not needing people that don't need help. Amen. It ain't a resort. It ain't a love boat. It's a battleship, I was told a long time ago. Amen. So we have a place for the worst of the worst. Jesse, when are you coming in? Me dijiste mañana hace 2-3 días, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I got it like that. I can do that. One day you get behind the pulpit, you can do it back to me. Amen. By that time, I'll probably be sore though by then. I'll just go, yeah, yeah. Whatever he said. And we also have a church, a facility. Amen. A beautiful facility. Everything done high end because we serve a big God. Amen. Our trust and finances is in the Lord. I got a lot of preaching to do here this day. We're off, not to a late start, but to a good start. Amen. I'm just going to ask that you give me a little bit more time on the clock, amen, so we can finish off the message. I have believed the Lord gave me a real powerful message here this day for you all, and we're going to be pulling the covers of the enemy, amen. So if you haven't caught it yet in putting on the full armor of God, you better put it on before you leave the church. Amen. How many know there's a fight out there whether you put the full armor of God on or not? We're in a battle. So in this battle, instead of getting your butt whooped year after year after year, why don't we get to dress ourselves in the full armor of God and go out there and kick some But I'll say it, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. Some of you got to get tired of having the enemy kick your butt. These don't cut it no more. They don't cut it no more. It's a sure loss. Amen. Pastor warmed up. He's got his Run for Hope t-shirt on. I was going to put the jacket. I says, man, I'm seeing bad. I don't want to be like Pastor Felipe today. Amen. Title of the message here today, those for viewing online, we welcome you. God bless you. Amen. And I pray the Lord touches you right there where you're at so powerfully that you can be with us next Sunday. Amen. Title of the message here this day, we're speaking about the full armor of God. We spoke last Sunday with our feet being shot with the gospel of peace, amen, about being in position. We spoke about last Sunday having the right shoes on for the right job, amen, and being Christians, we got to have the right boots on, amen, if we're going to be able to stand against the work of the enemy. But today we're going to be talking about putting on the belt of truth. Amen. Putting on the belt of truth. Second part that we're going to be speaking about of the full armor of God as we take off here this morning. I want to give a few examples here this morning, first of all, and I want to look at a carpenter, amen? There's ghetto carpenters, and then there's professional carpenters, amen? And a ghetto carpenter, amen, will probably have his hammer in his pocket, a pound of nails in his other pocket, and be running back and forth all over the place. Bring me the screwdriver. Bring me the measuring tape. Bring me, you know, the chalk line. Bring me my square. And he sends somebody over. A professional carpenter will have a belt bag on. And within this belt bag, this professional carpenter, amen, there's bags. Some are bigger than others, hold a lot of stuff. Amen. And they can hold the tape, pencils, measuring tape, screws, squares, hammer. And the hammer's using a little loop on the belt back here. And they always go to the same spot and they can just do it. They know where that hammer's at. And it allows the carpenter to be more effective. It allows the carpenter not to lose time running back and forth, getting tools, looking for tools at the bottom of a big bag with all these tools thrown in it. Amen? Every time they use that certain tool within their bag, in their pouch, they put it right back in the same place. I got a little battery pack here for my mic, and I know where it's at. I'm not trying to find it here on my leg or behind. I know where it's at. It's right here if I want to go on and off with the button. I know it's on, and guess where it's at? It's on my belt loop. It's on my belt loop. So we need to learn how to be effective Christians here this day. And we need to learn that the belt of truth is very important here this day. Ask me why. Well, the soldier would carry all kinds of stuff on that belt. But on this belt of truth, the number one thing he carried and the only part of the full armor of God was the sword of the Spirit. Was also like my battery pack is on my belt loop, that the sword would be on the belt. Of the Roman soldier, amen? And the belt had to be fitted. The belt had to be put on the right way, amen? So the sword of the Lord, amen, the word of God could be where it was supposed to be. When it would need to be drawn, the soldier could be effective, amen? And knowing how to draw that sword quick as he knew where it was at, because the belt of truth was fitted around his waist. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Anybody looks at their watch today, you're going to get your shoulders going to be tapped by an usher, and you're going to be escorted to my office to wait for me after the service. Amen? Simon says, no looking at your watch today. Amen? I might just finish early. You don't know. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Let's pray right there. Father, we thank you, we love you, give you all glory and all honor. I pray right now for a focus, Lord, that we all just focus on your word here this day, Lord, even though many come in with situations and problems, Lord. Your word is more important right now. Touch that man, that woman, viewing through Facebook here this day, that young person, Lord, debating whether they want to live or not. I pray after this message, Lord, Father God, that they be delivered, Lord, Father God, sanctified, set apart, Lord, for thy glory and thy honor and thy use, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. I have a question here this morning. It's simple. How many want to stand your ground in the things of Christ? A similar question, how many are tired in not being able to stand your ground in the things of Christ? I pray if you listen carefully here this day, that you will get a revelation you need for your victory, amen? For your deliverance here this day. I'm going to be speaking about putting on the belt of truth here this day. And if you want victory in your life, amen, you're then going to have to learn and apply God's truths. You're going to have to learn the word of the Lord. There's no way around it. In the mentioning of the parts that make up the full armor of God, the belt is truth. The belt of truth is the first one mentioned. Because without truth in your armor, ain't nothing else going to work. Ain't nothing else going to work. Truth is the foundation for your victory and your victories coming around the corner. And here's where Paul would first state, in mentioning of the many parts that make up the full armor of God, he would look towards the belt of truth. And he saw how all the armor was tied to somehow or another. It was all tied to, connected to the belt of truth. Tell your neighbor, you're going to need truth in your life. Tell that same neighbor, if that's a truth, you're going to have to remove the lies from your life. If we got to put on truth, we got to take off the lies. And here this day, I put here in my notes, his truth is going to have to be put first as very, very important. If you want to play ball, as a son and daughter of the Lord, you're going to need truth in your life. And there's many truths that the world can give you, many truths a boss can give you, a wife, a husband, a child. We all have opinions, amen, and have our way of seeing things and say, well, that's the truth, Dad or Mom. Just telling you the truth when it's one big old fat lie. You just see it as a truth. And you're trying to lead people to follow you, so it's the truth. How many have ever thought they were giving truth, and now in Christ, look back and find out, my God, I was nowhere remotely close to the truth. It was just simply what I thought was right. But I'm talking about B-I-B-L-E, truth. Not what you think, not what I think, but what the Lord thinks. And the Bible says that his thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. If you want victory in your life in this end time, darkened time that we're living in, you're going to have to start applying this book within your life. 2,000 years later, it's still the best seller. You can go to any hotel, amen, Mickey Mouse Down and Under Hotel, and if you pull the door, there will be a Gideon Bible in there. It's still the number one seller. It's still around. Why? Because the author is still around, amen. It works, and that's why it's still around. Somehow or another, they're still publishing it and making thousands and millions of Bibles daily. Just think of all the hotels around the world. That alone is millions of Bibles being published. to a place where usually we were getting high and drunk and tweaking and all that, and then some. You're tweaking out, you start looking through something, you pull the door open, and there's a Bible. Oh, my God. If the hotel drawer got a Bible, why can't the Christian have a Bible? Just saying. I know some of you got them big old Catholic Bibles. They're about 2 feet thick and 4 feet long. And they sit up on a shelf somewhere. Man, they got pictures in them. And it just collected a lot of dust. You can read the Catholic Bible. It's just got an extra couple of books in it. It's still got God's word in there. Amen? You're going to need God's word. You're going to need God. Tell your neighbor, you're going to need God's word. Tell your children, you're going to have to start reading that Bible. Even if it don't make sense. Even though you don't want it, it's the best seller. Why would you not want to read the best seller? With the author of authors. Why would you not want to allow that word to be within your life? If you want to stand your ground here this day, in the times we're living right now, you're going to have to learn how to put on the belt of truth. Everything else is connected to it. Without truth, you have nothing. Without truth, all you got is a bunch of sounding good lies. Amen? Let's move forward. We need to know why it's so important to have the truth. In John 8:44, the opposite word of a truth is a lie. And the Bible says, for you are the children of your father, the devil. When we were out there lost and bound, our father was the devil. I'm going to keep reading. It's in the Bible, the bestseller. For you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do evil things. He does. How many like when you're out there doing evil stuff? Amen? It got bad. It got real bad. You started off as a square one night, as a youth member, experimenting with this or that. And you turned out to be an evil person. My grandma would call me Manos de Lumbre. 2 years old, anything, man, I found matches. They had to hide the matches from me, man. I was just, and those big old stick ones back in the days, amen? And you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the what? The truth. He's always hated the truth. Why would the devil, if he's that powerful, why would he hate the truth? Because the Bible says that the truth is able to set you free. So if anything the enemy would want is you as well to hate to read the truth. Because he knows your victory is found in the word of truth, God's word. He's seen murders, evil men and women be delivered by the truth of God's word, set free men that used to be his right-hand man that are no longer under him, but are serving the Lord. The Bible says, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Let's go to the top. I thought I was still in the first. Somebody flipped the script on me, but it's okay. Let's start from the top. Because there is no... Oh, Shando, one more time. You done? All right. I got two people working the meter going like this right now. It's like, that wasn't me. Because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Hold that scripture there. There is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. How many were consistent liars When you were out there in the world, BC, before Christ, I'm talking consistent liars. Marco, you? Oh, he went, mmm. It was like, no reply. We were, another word for consistent, habitual. Liars. On a good day, we were liars. Doing the right thing, we would still lie. We were consistent. All of us were. I give you guys an A plus for going the wrong way and being consistent about it. And when I point at you guys, there's three pointing right back at me. I was a consistent, habitual liar. On a good day, more or less a bad day. A mom and dad would look, they would come back, and the riding lawnmower would be missing, the microwave, the guitar, and did you do this? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I was a consistent liar because my father, scripture says, was the devil. And he's consistent with his character. The enemy's covers are going to get pulled today. He's consistent with his lies. That means every day he's going to be feeding lies into your mindset, whether the lies sound so good. I mean, they're believable good. Because he comes as an angel of light. He knows each and every one of our appetites. He knows our weaknesses. So he knows what pitch to throw your way. He knows what bait to put on the hook. He knows what you like biting on. We bite, then we lie. We bite and lie, bite and lie. Adam and Eve bit into the apple. Right after that, they were lying, blaming it on each other, all the way to blaming it on the devil. Amen? There's some things we can blame on the devil, and there's some things we got to take the rap for. He is consistent with his character of being the father of lies. If you want to be consistent with truth, you're going to have to come under the father of truth. And the way to come into the father of truth, you're going to have to get into his word of truth. Amen? Real simple stuff, but it's powerful when you apply it. The power is coming. You're hearing it right now. Face it. Okay, I haven't been doing that lately. That might be my bad, Pastor. Keep it coming. All right? It's good to hear, but you're going to have to apply it. When your friends ask you to go party, you just think, man, I want to go party. Nah, I'm not going to go. No, I don't want to go. No, you follow through. You put some feet to it. John 14:6. This is the flip side of the father of lies. Now we go to the father of truth. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's saying, not only is he the right way to do things, but he is the truth. He says, that's who he is, the truth. Amen? And when you're doing things the right way and you have the truth in your life, the belt of truth properly fitted, amen, you're going to have the life. You're going to have life. You allow him to become the life within your life. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, I'm going to be moving quick now, amen? A lot of ground to cover. Stay focused. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? When you get saved, you're no longer under the father of lies. Amen? You come under the father of truth. And the Bible goes on to say, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Money didn't give it to you. That girlfriend, boyfriend didn't give it to you. God gave it to you. Amen? Amen. You do not belong to yourself. Don't forget that part. You don't belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. When we weren't worth nothing, he paid a high price for you and I. When we, mom and dad didn't want us, the hood didn't want us no more, nobody, our dog didn't want us no more. Jesus paid a high price for you and I. And it wasn't some amount of money. He didn't trade something for something, but he put his life on the cross for your life and my life to be able one day to have the opportunity to put on the belt of truth, amen, to get away from the father of all lies that hates truth. So if you thought the enemy was loving you because you were so down in the hood, just know that he's now hating you because you're hearing the truth. He's mad at you right now. He's getting madder by the seconds right now, amen? Some of you better just start putting your full armor on right now. You might get hit before you even get out the doors of the church. That's when you know the message was good, amen? When you walk out and you walked in with perfect eye, you walk out with a black guy, you say, man, that was a good word, man. That was a good word. Good word. I needed that black eye. Says that our body no longer belongs, one, to the enemy, the father of lies that hates truth, but it don't even belong to us anymore. My life has been purchased at a high price. Your life here this day has been purchased with the high price of the life of Jesus. It was something God did through his son. He paid a high price to give his only son. It's not like he had 15 sons, but he only had one son, and he gave that one son to pay the price in full for you and I to be able to put on the belt of truth, to have victory in our lives, and no longer be defeated by the father of lies. Amen? Our body no longer belongs to the enemy, not even to us anymore. This, my friend, is a truth. You can't continue to call the shots because you will be eventually caught slipping. Some of you still want to call the shots because you know so much. You don't belong to yourself no more. You've been purchased by Jesus. And your purchase was purchased with a purpose, with a plan, with a vision for your life, to direct your life with truth. For you can get truth results from your life. Anytime some evil spirit, everybody paying close attention, amen? Anytime some evil spirit of the past tries to come back into your life, they're trespassing. Amen? And I know back in the days, our doors stayed open. It was just like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. It was no different from 3 or 4 in the afternoon. Amen? Anytime now, something you've given up already, whether it's drinking, cussing, smoke, whatever it is, it's going to try to get back in your life. It's going to try to get back into your life. The Lord ain't done with you, but neither is the enemy. And the reason he's going to try to get you back into him being your father once again with lies, it's because enough Christians backslide to keep the devil encouraged. Wow. He's already got those in the street corner. He's looking for some sheep. Amen? He likes sheep meat. Amen? Wow. What do you call those where you buy sheep? It's called the what? Gyro. That's the one, Marco. You got it. The enemy likes guy robes. He likes sheep, man, lamb. Pastor, you messed up my hype, man. You were doing good, man. I like, what are you saying about guy? I ain't saying nothing about guy robes. I'm just saying the devil likes guy robes. If he had his choice, you know, if he wanted to go and eat something really good, think about it. Would he want some carnitas from some trailer? Or would he want some gyros, some sheep from the church? Anytime some evil spirit of the past tries to come back in your life, they're trespassing. Why? You know, we no longer belong to them. We don't even belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Jesus. They're trespassing what belongs to Jesus. They're trespassing what belongs to Jesus. We are the sheep of the Lord, and He is our shepherd. And He has purchased us with a high price. A trespasser is one that unlawfully enters one property without permission. A trespasser is one that unlawfully enters one's property without permission. I put here in my notes, trespassers can continue breaking the law until they are confronted. I got hit one time in the church. We put cameras all over the place. You're on the candy camera right now. Just let you know, straighten up a little bit. And the church hasn't been touched again. Because we confronted it. They were trespassing. Not in just any other house, but in the house of God. The devil, I put here, trespassers can continue breaking the law until they are confronted. The devil no longer has legal rights unto your life and my life. We no longer belong to him. In order for him to come back into our life, we need to allow him to trespass what belongs to Jesus. But it's up to us if we're going to defend our new legal rights in Christ. I got a, who's down and going an extra hour? The women ain't going to their party there on the lake anyhow. We're on the boat already, love, amen? It ain't raining up in here. All right, girls, act like you're in the boat right now. I'll let you go like this once in a while. Amen? I got a call this Friday from San Francisco. The person that called me wanted to come into the rehab here in Victor Outreach, Milwaukee. When there's 100 rehabs all around San Francisco out there, Victor Outreach, we're like all over the place in Northern California. And the individual that called me was a homosexual. He was gay. I got no problem with that. I had a problem before, early in Christ, I had a problem with that. Amen? Homie didn't play that. Homie still don't play that, but I love him now. Because I know Christ is able to do all things. I gave this man that's been lied to by the father of lies for many years, I gave this man, I would tell him over, yo, what's up, bro? What's up, bro? I'm taking that sis out of there, amen? He talks about how the churches that he went to would critique him, would talk about him, amen, would judge him. And I heard him for a minute. But you know, I was just getting locked and loaded, amen? Locked and loaded. And I said, check this out, bro. I said, I hear you, I feel you, amen? But Christ is able to do all things. If you're thinking you're going to come into the rehab because somebody's flying your ticket, paying for your ticket, and a magical wand's going to be waved over here from you being gay all your life and now becoming a straight-up man of God, it ain't happening. I said, just as if a heroin addict was being shipped over here and flown to us, it ain't going to happen for him either, or a crackhead, an alcoholic, or whatever. Because we got to make up our mind if we're no longer going to be under the father of lies and we're going to come under the father of truth. I said, yeah, they're judging you. They judged me when I came in a drug addict, when I came in out of prison. I too was judged by my own father, my own mother, my own brothers and sisters, because I had lived this drug addict lifestyle for so long. They looked at me crazy. With all rights. My father was the devil. I was consistent in lying every day and playing it off like I had things in control. I said, it's not just because you're gay that you're being judged. It's that you're in sin. You're in sin. Sin will always be judged in the church. Get used to it, bro. It's just that gay members getting judged. Everybody gets judged. Here and there within the church circles. But there's only one judge. That is the judge of judges. That will judge our life one day. And his name is Jesus. The Father of truth. So I said, don't think you're going to come into the rehab looking at the guys and praying in the morning the prayer of Jesus. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. But if you make up your mind to come into the man's home, not the woman's home, but the man's home, if you make it up in your mind right there on your couch, wherever you're at listening to this pastor, I'm crazy, but I'm giving you crazy truth, bro. I said, if you make up your mind right now that you're done with that lifestyle, because God right now is looking into your heart, and he knows whether you're talking good to me on the phone or you're really meaning it, and you want to change because God has touched your life. I said, you call me back. I'll give you 10, 20 minutes. Call me back, and we'll set up the plane ticket and everything to have you here in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee Rehab. I'm going to pray for you right now, bro. And I pray that God would raise him and touch him to be a great man of God. And we hung up. Did he call me back? No, he didn't. I got in there. I got in there. Him bouncing from one spot to the next spot was not going to change that spot within his heart. Truth was the only thing that's going to save that man from fulfilling the call upon his life. I said, you can call me at 3 in the morning anytime. I gave him all my heart. I pray to give him 23 years of wisdom to save that person flight money and coming over here. If he thought he was going to continue to do the same thing and be accepted by the church and God, I said, it's not going to happen. You will once again be judged. You want to stop being judged? Come under the Father of truth. You want her or him to stop talking about you? Stop living lies. Stop being consistent and screwing up. Preaching hard, keeping it real, because we're living in hard times. I'm looking for men. I'm looking for women that are tired of living lies. I'm looking for men. I'm looking for women. I'm looking for a youth that's willing to say, here I am, Pastor. I want the truth. I want my deliverance. I want my breakthrough. I want to be used by God. Not in some little fancy way, but I want to be used by God in a mighty, mighty, powerful way. What He wants to do, I want to do. That's what God's looking for right now. Truth within the hearts. Could be all screwed up right now, but He can discern if that truth within your heart is coming real. You can give me any story you want to give me. I want to believe you. But if you want to lie, it's not going to do yourself any good. Time is ticking right now. Tell your neighbor, time's ticking. Time's precious. People are dying as time is ticking. People are getting saved as time is ticking. How are you ticking here this day? But it's up to us if we're going to defend our new legal rights in Christ. Or we're just going to keep letting that addiction back, letting that what makes us weak back in. But don't no longer belongs to Him. Your body belongs to Jesus now, and a high price was paid for you. Stop treating your life as it's worth nothing. What mom and dad, you know what? You're never going to amount to nothing. Your life ain't worth the ay, muchacho, que andas haciendo, hombre? When are you going to get it? You ain't worth nothing. But Jesus on the cross opened the door for your true worth, my true worth, to be able to come out of our lives with truth. We're so consistent in lying to come up, get up. We'll lie, 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 lie. And that allows our Father to be the devil, Scripture said. Man, it's so much better just keeping it real 100, as the kids say, amen? Keeping it 100. I love watching Facebook. There'll be people using Scripture on there that are backslidden, and they'll put that little, keep it 100%. I'm like, please. Because everybody has a different way of seeing truth for what it is. Then another backslidden person too will comment to their comment. Amen. Keeping it 100. Keeping it 100. No demon, no evil spirit can remain when a Christian truly wants him or her gone. No evil spirit. When you give your life to the Lord, the Father of truth, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The reason that evil spirits stay lingering within our life is because we allow them to trespass what belongs to Jesus, because you and I didn't get, follow me, camera, because you and I didn't pay nothing. What we paid was putting Jesus on the cross. You see, sometimes when easy come, we say easy go. Easy come, easy go. You don't put no work. Yeah, screw it, man. If it don't work out, it don't work out. Didn't cost me nothing. But baby, when it costs you something and you put your hands to the plow and you put some work in year after year after year, all of a sudden, there was one day you woke up and you had nothing to lose. Now you wake up under the Father of truth and you got a lot to lose. Jesus paid the price. The Bible says the high price. While we were powerless, ungodly sinners. He says, I'll take him. I'll take her, man. I like that. He gets down in that world, in that corner. Man, I need him in my corner. He paid a high price for you and I. It wasn't $50, $20, or a tip. He gave his life for you and I to have victory, to have truth in our lives. You no longer belong to the devil. You don't even longer belong to yourself. Right. I OD'd 15 times slamming dope. I know I belong to Jesus. He kept resurrecting me and resurrecting me and resurrecting me when I had not even yet given my life to him, because he had a plan for my life. But he knew he had to inject me with truth. He knew he had to get the truth in me. He had to get the truth in me. He had to get the Son's blood in my life. Some of you, all you're lacking is truth. You come to church, you hear the truth, you leave the church, and get right back into consistent, habitual lying. And what you allow the enemy to do is to trespass what does not lawfully belong to him. I wasn't worth nothing to nobody but Jesus. My worth, my life, there was only one way. Mom and dad couldn't do it. Money, the prison system, programs, all the dope, women, money, dealing, all that. Couldn't do it. Because they were all tied in consistently to the lies and the work of the enemy. I needed truth in my life. I needed truth. The enemy's covers are being pulled. They're going to get pulled more right now. So I kept the jacket off. In Ephesians, nope, I ain't going there yet. No evil spirit can stay in your life unless you allow him to stay there or she to stay there. They can't. If they were that strong, not a one of us would be in here right now, including myself. James 4:7 says, so humble yourselves before God. Next line, resist the devil. Last Sunday I said, so some of you got to learn the word no. Resist the devil, and the Bible says he might flee from you. No, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. Are you an alcoholic still? Stop buying alcohol. And I promise you, it's not going to walk to your house. I promise you, it's not going to open the doorknob and go to you and right there we're lying and pop it open. And you're going, I promise you, that's not going to happen. You can take a hit of acid, and I promise you, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to go to the gas station, go to the store, walk up to the freezer, make a deliberate decision. I'm going to go get me a 6-pack, 12-pack, 24-pack, keg, or whatever. It's a decision. It can't walk and talk, but you can walk and talk. There's a decision. That big old fat marijuana joint, I promise you, it can jump off the bush in Mexico, fly over to your house, purchase a pack of rolling papers at the store, and get a lighter while it's at it, and come and roll one up by its. I promise you, I've never seen that done. I've never seen crack coke coming from Colombia, fly around, come find where you're living at, make a pipe for you, get a little Brillo, burn it, hook it up, and get everything in place for you to take a hit of crack today. You're going to have to go make it happen, even if you pay for it. Well, I get someone else to make my pipe. Oh, be quiet. That's the father of lies talking. I'm going to keep it simple, and I'm going to keep it real. As the Bible says, you resist the devil, he gonna get out. He got to go. He needs your approval, amen, to trespass what belongs to Jesus. He needs you to say, pásale, mi casa, tu casa. Come on in, homeboy. We got it like that. 5 minutes later, woo, cops are on their way. People are jumping out back windows. Guns are firing off. The hood comes alive, and everybody comes to watch. What's going on? What's going on? As unreasonable as it may seem, some people are just not willing to exercise their godly rights. You continue to allow the enemy to trespass. What don't belong to him are not even you, but that belongs to Jesus. The Bible says that he purchased you with a high price. Tell your neighbor, you ain't ghetto, man. You're expensive, man. A diamond ain't got nothing on you, girl. Okay, now we're going to get to the good part. Ephesians chapter 6. And if anybody is looking at their watch, everybody's watches are wrong right now. Amen. It was last night. You were supposed to change them back an hour or something like that. Amen. Let's keep going. Here's where we're going to park it for a bit. Amen. What a bit means, I don't know, but. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 12. I want people to get it here today. Black and white, get it. Black and white, get it while you can. A brother once said, "It's now or never, Pastor." I'm not going to give you his name, amen. I'll give you a clue. I already gave it once. It's now or never. Trying to come in the home all drunk and without the COVID test. It's now or never. I'll never forget that one. That goes down in the archives, in the books, man. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. The Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." This scripture I want you to get. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I'm going to break this down for you here this day. And the first word I want us to look at is the word wrestle. I go to the King James Version because I believe the NLT uses the word fight. We do not fight against flesh. But in other words, physically, like throwing down. Amen? That's the way we did it under the Father of all lies. Said last Sunday you could win the fight and still lose it. The Bible reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Let's look at that word wrestle. "For we wrestle not." Here, wrestling speaks of close quarter fighting. When guys are wrestling, they're all mangled together, right? They're wrestling. Amen. They're trying to make all these moves, the move after move after move, they're wrestling. How many know that the battle is very personal and close with the enemy? Some of you are right now in a wrestling match right now with the enemy, and to throw blows for a few seconds don't take much wind, but to wrestle takes a lot of wind. You got to be conditioned, amen? The enemy is spiritual, and so are his weapons. Wrestling also suggests pressure tactics. And I put here the UFC. And the UFC, guys, I love to watch guys bleed and kill each other. I get more excited, more blood comes out. in wrestling, in UFC, there's a lot of pressure tactics, and it's called, some of them are in really good boxers or kickers. Some of them are known for being submission artists. So they want to grapple, they want to take the man to the ground to wrestle, because they're known for all these positions that they're able to use pressure to make that man submit and to tap out. And what the enemy does while we're in this wrestling match, he puts pressure in your life. He's trying to bring a submission. He's trying to tap you out here this morning as you're hearing the word of God. He's got you in a hold right now. And he's trying to take the breath out of you. He's trying to take you out. Not just tap you out, but to tap you out, to take you out. So the UFC fighters, the ones we like watching the most, is the ones that are submission artists. They're known for, they use pressure to tap the opponent out. I put here different types of chokeholds they use, all kinds of chokeholds. And every chokehold is based on pressure, them putting pressure. And they hold it and they hold it. And then the guy taps out and the fight ends right there. And some of the guys go out because the pressure takes their air. And then there's some arm bars, arm moves where it'll take their air, but it'll snap their arm if they don't tap out. And it's done by pressure, until the guy says, hey, man, I don't want my arm broken. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many has ever felt pressure of the enemy upon your life on a good day? See, I feel this on a good day on the mountaintop. I'm always under pressure. So I got to be a conditioned wrestler in the Lord. I got to be able to go all the rounds. Amen. I got to be long-winded. Just like I was long-winded for the devil, I got to be long-winded for Jesus. And that's why we might stay in the house of God this Sunday morning into the afternoon. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I haven't said it lately. Would you want a short-winded pastor or a long-winded pastor? Some of you are saying, right now, I want a short-winded pastor, but pastor, do what you got to do. Amen. I will. How many has ever felt the pressure of the enemy get greater and greater through your thought life? The pressure, and you're saying, where is that coming from? You're in a wrestling match right now with the enemy. And he's working these pressure moves on your life to start taking the air, which is the breath, the person of the Holy Spirit, amen, for you to discern incorrectly. To discern incorrectly. Pressure in your thought life. How many have faced pressure, so much pressure? You're emotional all the time. You're always very emotional. And you think you're just messed up, but the enemy got you right now. He's got you in a move, and he's applying pressure and more pressure and more pressure to bring out emotions that are of the flesh. They want to get up and fight against flesh and blood. How dare him talk to me like that? How dare she talk to me like that? How many ever felt pressure? Pressure. You got to make a decision. There's pressure and more pressure and more pressure. How many have ever felt pressure of the enemy through a bad leg, a bad arm, a bad neck, a bad kidney, liver, all the above? You feel pressure everywhere you go, man. You got a little limp to you, you know? Yeah, what's up, bro? And you're trying to be cool about it, but there's pressure on that knee. It's swollen. There's pressure in that ankle, that neck, whatever it is. There's pressure. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. I used to be able to fly for the enemy, going days without eating, days without sleeping. All messed up. And I stayed consistent to being messed up. because I was under a consistent father that was a liar of lies, father of lies. For we wrestle not. So here Paul, through the King James Version, sees it as a wrestling match. And all wrestlers are going to work off of pressure no matter what they're doing. It's so whenever you're like, ah, you get tired. So all wrestlers work off of pressure to snap bones or to take the win out of somebody, to win the fight. As Christians, we need to learn how to put spiritual pressure on the enemy. And if we're going to learn how to put spiritual pressure on the enemy where it belongs, we first must stop using our ineffective fleshly weapons. So now, we're in a wrestling match right now. And it's not the UFC one that you can train for to become a good wrestler. No, it's a spiritual wrestling match. This is your trainer. Right here is your trainer. See, the enemy don't want you to know that you're in a wrestling match right now, that you need to be spiritually, most of all, and physically in shape. Some of you got to get in shape physically because the pressure you're facing right now is by being out of shape, by being overweight. Amen? I'm here to help you. I ain't talking about you. And there's areas in your life right now, there's pressures by the enemy using right now in your life because of extra weight that you're carrying around that you shouldn't be carrying around. And because of that, this and that and this hurts. And it limits you from being an effective wrestler for the kingdom of God. You got to really want it. Because it works. If you start eating right, you will start getting quick results. But too many times we allow, follow me, camera, we allow the enemy to trespass in our bodies from being not physically fit. We allow the enemy to trespass our body that belongs to Jesus. We were all long-winded out there in the world, and I believe that's why Jesus chose us, because we were long-winded. But some of you are now saved and not that long-winded no more. Because now you eat three times a day. In the world, we didn't eat. It's the rehab as the church. We're fasting now. And all that one day on Wednesday hurts. It hurts. Because it's calling our physical body to say, no, you ain't eating today. Yeah, yeah, but what do you mean we ain't eating today? We eat every day. Yeah, yeah, we. Not now. Can't do it for one day, but when we're running with the devil, man, we went days and weeks without eating, without sleeping. And we were so effective for going the wrong way. Why can't we be effective for going the right way, doing the right things, being under the Father of truth? It says, now we know we're in a wrestling match. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities is the first word here. Amen. So I got to make a wartime decision right now. Do I keep preaching? Because now I'm down to my 4 points. I'm just getting to the 4 points. Pastor Felipe, we're going to let you make the decision being the associate pastor of the church. All right. Pastor Felipe said, save it. But I think he said, save it, because my wife first said, save it. And the enemy's applying pressure right now from different angles and different areas. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just share principalities, 1 out of 4, and we're bringing it in. Amen? And we'll pick up next Sunday here. Amen? Took a lot of hours putting this together. Amen? It says, for we wrestle not against flesh blood, but against principalities. We're going to look up that word right now. And then we're going to go to powers next week. Then we're going to go to the rulers of darkness. And then the last one is wickedness in high places. Amen. Principalities. In the Greek, the word principalities means this. It means things in a series, such as leaders, rulers, and magistrates. That's in the Greek, the word principalities means things in a series, such as leaders, rulers, and magistrates. Amen? What the Greek is saying, it describes here the work of Satan, the enemy, in this wrestling match. It describes their rank and organization. You need to know here this day that the enemy has ranks and organization in his plan to destroy your life through being the father of all lies. Amen? The word principality tells us that the satanic kingdom is highly organized. Highly organized. The plan to destroy your life, your marriage, your children, the church is highly organized of the enemy in this wrestling match that we're in. An example is like the Army of the United States. The President Trump is known as the Commander-in-Chief. Amen? The rank under him is General. The one under the General is Colonels. Under the Colonels is Major, then Captains, Lieutenants, down to a private. In the U.S. Army, in this world, we also have an order, amen, of ranking, starting from the President on down. I put here, the enemy is totally organized. His moves are made with evil designs. Amen. Here this day, the enemy right now is at work through his lies. He's been going undercover until now within your life. It wasn't that you were all that messed up. It's just that the enemy we wrestle against and fight against on a daily, amen, is very crafty, craftier than them all, the Bible says. He was the lead worship angel in heaven. Amen. He's very, very strategic in everything he does to destroy your life. He's organized. And he's got ranks of evil spirits and everything designed to fulfill their assignment to destroy your life. But the Lord has a comeback, amen. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. And now, next week we're going to learn how much more powerful and how much more authority we really got than the enemy does on his best day. But here this day, it was part one of the Belt of Truth. We'll continue with part two of the Belt of Truth, amen. As we stand here this day, worship team, make your way, please. Put here, how many are ready to put on their belt of truth? I don't know about you, but nobody put my belt on for me today. When I put my pants on, I put it on. I put it on. Even though it's the belt of truth and it holds high importance, keeping everything together and to make everything work, you used to have a decision of putting it on if you want to live the life of truth. But do you want to continue living the life you're living with no results in coming to church? No results in coming to church? That's your decision. You don't have to wear it if you don't want to. NLT says, putting on the belt of truth. Without the truth, you will always be ignorant. In ignorance, living a defeated life of lies. I know that it works. 23 years later, I know this works. I know it works. It's consistent as I was consistent under the father of lies, and even then some. I have more years in the Lord now than I had in the world. And I've been very, very consistent in serving the Lord. Very consistent. But every day I have pressure. I have pressure every day. The enemy's trying to tap me out and apply pressure to this person or that person in the congregation or that person that's closest to me. My wife brings a lot of pressure, man. The one that said, save it. But the pressure she brings me is to make my life better. I learned that one a long time ago, man. I do my best to teach Felipe. Let her win. Let her win. We know who wears the belt. Let her win. There's sometimes we got to humble ourselves before the Lord, and then the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee. You don't have to win all the time. I know in my life every day, I don't have to win every round now. Before, pride said, man, I had to win every round. Whether it was my wife, my kids, I was going to win every round because I was still fighting with these. I still not yet knew how to use and wage war with the full armor of God. Full armor of God will punk you out, humble you out, but it'll allow peace and truth to come into your life. You got to really want it. Right there where you're at, you got to really want it. You got to make up your mind right now. The devil, he might have a hole, but that hole was just about to take you out. You got off that hold as the UFC fights. The guy's almost out, and then at the end, he does the last little, and he gets out of the hold. And he gets air, and then once again, he's kung fu fighting. Amen? You're off that hold right now. What are you going to do? Are you just going to leave the church today and allow the enemy to get you right back in that hold again? Do the same things to get right back in that same hold again? What are you going to do? Because as great as God is, you're going to have to defend. And you're going to have to put on your belt. No one's going to do it for you. It's going to take a discipline. You go to work every day. Why can't you put your belt on every day? I forgot my belt at the house. I still got another house over here. So I was looking for a belt and I found one, but it didn't fit. It was a brand new belt. So there I was with a Phillips screwdriver trying to make another hole before coming over here. Freaking fit. Because I didn't want it to be my waist a little loose. I just want it just right in case I had to go there. I didn't want to be sagging. What are you going to do? The enemy is a trespasser. And the only way he can trespass is you allow him to. Because he's defeated. That's for young kids right now hearing this word. For you have a decision to make. Yes, yes, Jesus purchased you, but he loves you so much that he allows you to make freedom of will to make your decisions. Right there where you're standing, whatever the song is, I just want it played real low, whatever the song is. I want you to speak to the Lord right there where you're at. Because he wants to use you. exercise your Christian legal rights here this morning. The only reason the enemy's still there is because you're allowing them to be there. The only reason you might still be doing this or that is because you're allowing the enemy to trespass in what belongs to Jesus. Humble yourself here this day. And give it all to the Lord. Give it all to the Lord. Let him submit you. Let him tap you out here this day. Submit your life unto the Lord. And victory after victory shall follow. Everything. What's good, what's bad, give him everything. It belongs to him. Those secret areas, he knows about them. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Up the signs within your life. No trespassing. I give to you. No trespassing to my past. Only Jesus can enter. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only truth. Only truth. Give him all, give him all this day. Because he gave his life for you. He purchased you with a high price. When we had no value. When we had no worth. It's your day. It's your day. It's your day to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Everything else is connected to it. Oh, the belt of truth. Exchange the lies for the belt of truth and become that heavyweight fighter in the building of the kingdom of God. Oh,
As the Lord was showing me right now, he was showing me a fight, UFC fight. In almost every fight, there's a winner. Sometimes there's a draw, but almost every fight, there's a winner. And there's a loser. And what he was showing me, at the real end, they got both, they're holding both hands. The referee's holding their hands, and then they announce the guys, and they raise his hand, right? What's the guy's name, the UFC guy? Dan or? Joe. Joe Rogan comes from behind. Pastor, what are you doing? I'm taking off my belt. Come here, love. Come on, andale, vente. Vente, me guitas. Ay, ponte. I got my mic pulling on me. See, I ain't got nowhere to put this. I ain't got the belt, so I can't put this. So I'm going to MacGyver. All right. So, come on, mijo. Come over here. You're Joe Rogan or whatever that guy's name is. Come on. Andale. So, it's me and mommy. We've been in a fight, okay? Me and mommy been in a good one. Amen? And we're gonna let mommy win today, okay? Because after you pick up. And the winner is, as we go to the scorecards, 80-79 by overwhelming decision, and still
the undefeated
champion of the UFCCC world, Marlene Reyna. Pick up her hand. Stay looking forward. And then Joe Rogan or whatever his name is, he comes behind and he puts the belt. Amen. Yeah. No. He comes and puts the belt. Amen. The belt signifies a truth. It signifies the truth that she won. The belt of truth. I take it off, love. Did I put it too tight?
Can I be done now?
You're done, son.
Okay, good.
Belt the truth, or you just keep getting spanked by it. I'm gonna. You have to make up your mind. The belt the truth, or get the belt. See, Jesus already took the belt, took the whip for your life and my life. For you to have the belt of truth. Not a father of lies that destroys people, marriages, families. I don't know about you, but I've been wearing a belt now for 23 years. It's funny, the other day the guys went to go work in my house, and I'm not going to say his name, but Tapelon, okay? He forgot to bring his belt. So he got some Romex wire and made a belt for his pants not to fall down. I was like, were you not thinking before you left the house to put the belt on? And sometimes we forget to put the belt of truth on. This happened just yesterday. This ain't a story of 10 years ago. He had Romex wire for a belt. The work needed to get done. I go, ponle, vámonos. Romex wire for a belt. Because he wasn't fitted. The pants kept coming down. I was walking, you know, like this, you know, the whole time. Father, I pray this day that your sons and daughters that have been purchased by you at a high price, put on the belt of truth, Lord. That they put on the belt of truth, your truth, what you say, goes this day. I pray for signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord, this church being packed out, the balcony being packed out, the red chairs packed out, double services, Lord, Father God. Because just with the people that are here this day, by simply putting on the belt of truth, victories are going to start coming their way. And then the people they know that are still in the world are going to want some of that. They're going to want some of that. And they're going to come and peep game what's working for you. So touch every man here this day, every woman here, every youth here this day, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Love you guys. God bless you guys. Catch up with you Wednesday for prayer, Friday service, and Sunday. Amen. I know we went long, but praise the Lord. Amen.